Hello, and welcome everybody again to another episode of the Real Connection Podcast, where we are talking about all things real estate, buying them, selling them, building them, staging them, painting them, renovating them, all things under the sun. So today we have a wonderful guest, Miss Monique Geniac from Deerbrook Realty, joining myself, Sean Santoro, and my co-host, Dave McCall. Dave, say hello to everyone.
How is everybody today?
Wonderful, wonderful. Monique, can you please say hello to the lovely crowd that we've got here today?
Hello, everyone. Thank you for being here.
So I am very thrilled to have you on our podcast here. It's been awesome that you would take the time out of your day. So thank you very much for joining Dave and I. And yeah, let's get right into the nitty gritties of it. So how long have you been in real estate for?
In July, it'll be my third year. My third full year.
Nice.
Not very long.
Nice, nice. That's all right. You're doing phenomenal things. So.
And Winter Essex is a great place to be doing it now. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's beautiful. So, and sorry, what did you do before you got into real estate?
I was a dental hygienist for 20 years, 20 plus years, actually. And then when COVID hit, I was looking for a change, and I've always loved real estate. I've always, you know, watched the market. I've always watched, like, looked at houses online and gone through open houses, and just seemed like the perfect fit. So I dove in and got my license in 9 months and haven't looked back.
That's awesome.
Excellent. Well, I know, like, with Windsor right now, for those who are watching the show and listening, Windsor is a hot market right now. We have so much going on here, with the EV battery plant and the new hospital and the new bridge. There's two or three more companies that are looking to come to Windsor. Population is growing like by the thousands every month. So, from a real estate standpoint, great place to be. What is the thing that you are most looking for now? I know the interest rates are going to change sometime. What is it that you were expecting from that?
For my buyers to have a easier time buying their first home would be nice. It's a struggle for sure. So that would be something that I would love to see. I do work closely with Sean, and he's been wonderful in helping with that. So side by side, that's been a great connection there. And I think basically that would be it. I just would love to see people be able to get into their first time homes with a little less stress.
That is a really difficult, and Sean and I were talking about that. That's a really difficult thing for people to do. Getting that deposit, battling, you know, for the homes. Cause I mean, I think, and I know we've mentioned it on other shows, but I think the rental rate is like 2%. We've got 8,000 people looking for homes. They're building a few new apartment buildings. And I know the housing starts for building is very low for the number that we need. What would you suggest to a first time buyer? What should they be doing right now to get into the market?
Well, they need to be, first of all, saving their money. They need to have a good mortgage consultant professional that can guide them with exactly what they need as far as down payment. They need to hire a trusted realtor to guide them and give them, you know, an idea of what they are able to afford, and showing them, you know, having just educating them on what things have sold for. And maybe they're not even ready yet, but once they save up a little bit more, they will be ready. And having a patient realtor is key. And having somebody like Sean, who's very educated in the mortgage side of it, is just really important to utilize those professionals to get what you're looking for. And also just understanding that at first, we're probably not going to start out at what we may have thought we were going to.
Yeah, getting used to the new reality is hard for a lot of people.
Yes. And, you know, I think we look at what our parents have and we want that right now without really realizing the steps that they took or the work that they put in to get there themselves. And,
Monique, when you say that, you know, and that people should be saving, you know, their money for their down payment, obviously. But what is right now an average down payment? What are they actually looking at for the average home?
Well, I think Sean could probably better answer that question. He's working on those all the time. I just had somebody buying, you know, a $600,000 house, and they had to put down at least 30 was what they were told to put down. That's not something that everybody can do.
And I'll give you the exact breakdown of how it works. So you have to come up with 5% of the purchase price for everything up to $500,000. So it starts at 25, right? Beyond 500,000. From everything beyond 500, so let's say it's $600,000 house, that next 100,000, you actually have to put 10% down. So you've got 5% from the first 500, that's 25K. And then 10% on the next 100,000, that's another 10K. So it would be 35,000 down payment that they would be required to put on that house. And then there's closing costs. And this is a key point, because it's often that closing costs are something that's kind of forgotten about. The down payment is what you got to give to close the deal based on the mortgage. But there's still a lawyer to be paid. You know, with a lot of good incentives that they have right now, there is land transfer tax rebates. I think they cap you out at about $4,000 that they max out the rebate at. But again, land transfer tax, legal costs, hopefully not an appraisal cost, depends kind of on the circumstances, home inspectors costs, right? There's other things over and above the down payment that, that we really need to make sure we keep an eye on, because the last thing you want to do is be caught flat footed on that, right? A week from closing.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So what are we looking at for closing costs? I mean, what's a normal number?
Generally, what we advise is anywhere from 1 to 2%. 2% is kind of like is a fair rate. One's kind of on the lower side. So I generally will tell people 1.5 to 2%. If you're factoring in that land transfer tax rebate, then realistically, it's not quite 2%. But like I said, you'd rather have a few extra thousand available in the event that you need it versus being short $3,000 a week from closing. Nobody wants that.
So for an average home, no, Monique, what's an average home in Windsor going for right now?
We're probably around that 580 area in Windsor.
Okay. So basically, if we're looking at the 580 to 600,000 mark,
yep,
you're looking at roughly $35,000 for your down payment. And would you say roughly $5,000 would cover all the additional costs?
I think that's fair. I do.
Okay. So for the average first time buyer, you're looking at around $40,000 to jump into the market, which is really hard for a 20 something, you know, person who's just stepped out of school with $60,000 in, you know, student loans, $2,000 a month for rent if they're not living with mom and dad. Their car payments or, you know, the car insurance and all the other stuff that goes monthly, saving up the $40,000 is difficult.
Yeah. Yes.
So now when we talked on a different show, we were talking about people, groups of people getting in to buy homes, because of the cost of the initial cost of getting in. So if you get 2, 3, 20-year-olds, you know, buying a home together, are you seeing that at all?
I haven't dealt with that myself personally, but I do know that that is happening. I know that there are even families moving in together into one home for affordability reasons. You know,
yeah,
we're seeing quite often.
So you're looking at multifamily homes. You're looking at, you know, basically friends getting together to buy homes.
Yeah.
You're looking at that. And I was told by somebody who read an article that the housing market is probably going to go up by about 10% by the end of this year. So if that's correct, which you can let me know, that 40,000 is just getting bigger.
That's right. And I have also heard that myself. And John could also speak to this, but I have heard predictions that the interest rates are going to come down, which would, again, make that more desirable. People will pay more for houses. We saw that 2 years ago. And if that is the case, we'll see it again. I don't think we would see it to the same degree. I don't think we're going to get back to those interest rates, but that is what I have heard as well.
Absolutely. And I couldn't agree more. There is the way that I explain it to a lot of people that kind of don't, and I hear it all the time. Yeah, I'm waiting for interest rates to come down. And it's just like, okay, like I get it. I understand there's cost implications. Sure. But when we're talking about an asset class that arguably everybody wants to get into in one way or another, whether it's to be a tenant in it or it's to physically own the property, and if they're living in it or if they're having it as a rental property, whatever, there is a lot of attraction towards real estate in Canada in general. And so, you know, when we make the instrument, that being mortgages, when we make the instrument cheaper to get, well, that only fuels the fire and makes, you know, the competition even more aggressive. So when a lot of people are saying, you know, yeah, I'm waiting for interest rates to come down. Okay, well, it's you know, a couple of questions from there. Is it because you can't afford at these interest rates? Well, then maybe it's, you know, we try and reevaluate some things, looking at teaming up with maybe a family member, getting help with some down payment from a family member, or maybe even purchasing together with, you know, a friend and whatnot, to that extent. And if it's just because
the bank of mom and dad.
Exactly, right? And if it's just to kind of, oh, I just want it to be cheaper, well, now it's like, okay, well, now you need to recognize there's a lot of other people in that exact same circumstance. And if you're having a hard time winning bids now, you know, just wait if it drops a full percentage point. Now, again, we could go all day long on what could. I tell people, build your finances based on today. If you can afford it and it makes sense today, and interest rates go down, your house is now worth more. So,
well, now here's a question about finding houses. I know that there's a lot of people in the real estate game, and more and more people are coming into it. So I'm sure from your side, Monique, it's getting a little harder to you know, get out there and find these places. What are some of the things you do to find the sellers, find the buyers? I know you've built connections over, you know, the years you've been in, but with any other business, you've always got to be expanding those connections. So what do you do to reach out to people to let them know you're there?
Well, I am, I'm a very relationship-based person. I'm not transactional at all. I think when I joined this, first of all, I started as dental hygienist, and I was still working, and I had a very good life. I never felt any otherwise. So, and I have a lot of relationships within my own community. I grew up in Riverside, and I just love it there. So I come from a big family. There's 9 of us, including my
that
mom and dad.
That is a big
dad.
Family.
Yeah. Yeah. And,
I got to ask, how many older brothers?
I have 3 older brothers and 1 younger, and then I have 2 older sisters.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's a lot of us.
Yeah.
So really for myself, I haven't, I'm not a cold caller. I don't door knock. I haven't had to. I always say I have the best clients in the world. I do. They're just beautiful people. They refer to me. It's just been very much, I take care of them. I make sure that they know what I'm doing. I touch base with them on a regular basis. I send them things to let them know and continue to know that I'm still here for them if they ever need anything, or somebody that they actually care about is looking for someone. I'd be happy to help them as well. That's what I do.
So here's a question, and it just always intrigues me. It really does, because I've been in a variety of businesses throughout my life, and so has Sean. When you find somebody who's looking for a home, and they're looking, you know, they want that, you know, I want the in-ground pool, I want this, I want that, I want this, and I want that. And when you add it all up, they're looking for a $1.4 million home, but they have $600,000 range. How do you deal with that? How do you bring them back down to reality and say, hey, this is, you know, what you want is wonderful, and I want one of those too, but.
That's exactly it. I sit with them. I show them what is selling in their price range. and they can have that pool. They can have certain things if you know, in that 600 price range, but they might not be on the water. They may not, you know, have water view. They may have to sacrifice, but it also, you know, and I'm a very goal-driven person. So why don't, you know, again, it comes back to that. We can't have what we want, like what our parents have right now. We have to get there. So here's the path. We can start here and grow and grow. And now you have a goal. And when you have a goal you can work towards, which is now saving that money to get to your next step. That's really what it is. I mean, it's very plain in front of you when you print out or you show them what has sold within their price range. No one can argue that.
Do some people get a little upset or frustrated, or are they usually pretty understanding?
No, I would say it's 50-50. There are people that, you know, they still want that. They still think that they should be able to get it. And they still think that, well, if I offer, you know, 100,000 less because it's been on the market for 45 days, they're going to just give it to us. But that's not the case most often.
Right.
So those, there are, you know, just different personalities. Everybody has a different personality. And I think that one of the things is I just listen. If you just stop and listen to people, they can, they'll tell you what they're looking for.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot for a second because I run a consulting business for quite some time. And there was some clients who they wouldn't listen to what I said, you know, and they wouldn't do what they were supposed to be doing. And then they would come back to me and say, well, things aren't working out, you know, you're not very good because, you know, I haven't grown my business by 50%. And that's because, well, you're not listening to what I said and you're not doing what you should. It's crazy sometimes. It really does. They get all upset and everything else. And I've had to drop a few clients simply because the relationship wasn't there. You know, I was trying to take them in what I thought was the best direction for them. They weren't happy with that. Have you, as a real estate agent, and you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but have you ever had to drop a client simply because you couldn't, you know, meet what they were looking for?
I have not had to drop a client, but I'm sure I've lost clients because I was honest about pricing. I was honest about what they were either going to get for their home or what they would be able to purchase. I'm sure I have. But at the end of the day, I know that I've been honest. And so, you know, part of this job, and I can tell that you've had these, and I know that Sean has as well, is rejection is a part of our job. It's just the way it is.
Absolutely.
And, you know, you do, the more it happens, the more you learn that it is really not as much about you as it is about them.
Yes.
And sometimes we're not for everybody, you know, we weren't made that way. So they might fit better with somebody else. I mean, I've had situations where I've seen it, where I've gone in and told somebody that their house was worth a certain amount. I didn't get the listing, and then it was listed much higher, and no one went through it.
Right.
And then they dropped it to the price that I had mentioned.
And then suddenly it moves.
It's the way it is.
Exactly. No, I completely agree. There's a young man I was chatting with yesterday, and we were talking about kind of just sales in general. You know, you need to get out of your comfort zone and do and have the conversations that feel a little awkward at first, because again, nobody was a born salesman. You know, some people have a little bit, you know, better gift of just kind of engaging in random conversation. Great. You know, it makes it a little easier on them.
Gift of gab, yes.
Exactly. But nobody was built to hear no, 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 no all day long and just be like, eh, no big thing. All of that is learned, right? The thick skin comes from getting the no's and getting the no, I don't want it, or no, I don't need it, or what, again, whatever it is. But every time it happens, we get a little better. And we recognize a little bit more. And sometimes, you know, it is our fault. You know, sometimes we do things wrong and, you know, shit happens, right? People make mistakes and that's okay, right? But, you know, owning up to those mistakes, that's how you handle them. And, but being able to kind of roll through that and keep pushing forward That's where the real skill kicks in. Is anybody can pick up a phone and call random people. It takes a lot of grit and focus and determination to do that day after day. And it's not just, necessarily cold calling, right? It could be calling people that we know and saying, hey, I'm doing something new. I'm wondering if, you might be able to support and or help or just, connect me with somebody. That takes a lot to ask those questions. So again, to everybody who's ever even struggling with that, I heard a really good quote today. Confidence comes from action, not practicing, basically. And yeah, I mostly agree with that.
Well,
I think a lot can come from practicing as you do get more confident, but confidence really does come from being out in the field, out doing the thing, doing the activity, and that's a huge thing, and that's where we learn fast.
absolutely. And learning from our mistakes, if we deal with a client, and they have a certain reaction, you've got to realize that you have to read your clients. Everybody, understands that, who's in business. You have to be able to read your clients, understand who they are, what they want, and it's whether it's in real estate or consulting or mortgages or whatever else. You have to understand, how emotionally attached they are to the situation, and you have to you can't overpromise. That's the worst thing you can do is overpromise, because if you say, yes, I can take your business to 50% more sales, but I know I can't. I can get you that house or get you that price, and you can't, right? Just to get the client, it's not going to turn out well in the long run.
I couldn't agree more with that. I think that's wonderful. And I'm very human. I don't know everything. I'm going to always say, I always say that I am not perfect, but if I don't know an answer, I will do everything I can to get that for you. I'm coachable. I'm teachable. I love learning.
You
I'm
always have to
always
be open to
learning,
learning.
right? Yeah. And I think it's really smart that you're even saying that, because some people, I mean, I'm on this, but I'm certainly no expert. I'm fairly new in this business. I do well, but I'm learning every single day. I ask people all the time for help, all the time.
Oh, I've been in business now for 25 years, and I have no qualms whatsoever with asking somebody to teach me something, to help me with something. I've got this project going on. Can you help me share this project? Can you help me with this, aspect of it or whatever else? No, you have to be open to learning. You have to be open to, as you said at the very beginning, which I think was great, it's being honest with yourself, and knowing your strong points, knowing your weak points, learning from your mistakes so that your weak points are less and your strong points are more. And eventually you're going to get to where where you want to be. Working with real estate clients. Now, I know with my clients, and I'm sure Sean's run into the same thing, this wonderful picture of a horse. It's gorgeous on the back end. It looks like, Rembrandt painted it. And then in the front of the horse, looks like a 6-year-old drew it. And on it says, when your client says, can you do it cheaper? Right? It's a hilarious, true picture. I've had clients, they'd say, okay, I need you to do this for me, this for me, this for me, this for me, this for me. And when I give them the price, they say, well, can you do it cheaper? I'm sure in your market, you've had people doing the same thing. You tell them, this is the percentage that we take, and well, can you take less of a percentage, or what can you do for me? What do you do with people who try and talk down your value?
Well, it does happen all the time. But you do get people who just say, I do understand your value, and you let me know what this is, and we're going to go ahead. Like, there's people that they do know your value already. There will be people that will not have, and this is not to say anything negative about another realtor or anything, but there are people that aren't actively working every day. So when somebody calls them to do a listing, they'll do it for anything, to just have that. I think there's a lot of value in what many of us realtors do. And as long as you can explain that and back it up with the evidence, you know, people are not going to, they're not going to try and get you to do it for cheaper when they understand your value. But if you go in there and you just, you know, you just say, oh yeah, yep, I'll do it for that. But what are you getting for that? What are you getting? Are you getting a realtor that actually is going to promote your property as well as they can? Are they getting in the good photographers, the videos, the getting, you know, the marketing? What's the marketing process and what are they doing for you? When you don't know any of those things and you're just signing on the dotted line because it's going to be cheaper, you're going to get cheaper.
Yeah. You get what you pay for.
Yeah. There's a classic line. It's price is what you pay, value is what you get. And you see that a lot in the service business is, you know, price is X. But at the end of the day, they're measuring it. I mean, they come back and they reference it to the price. But, you know, sometimes I've hired contractors or plumbers or HVAC people and, you know, like, yeah, that's a very fair price. And they come in, I'm just like, wow, I've never had anybody work that well or that efficiently or be that friendly as a, you know, an HVAC guy or whatever it is, right? I'm not that I'm harping on the HVAC people out there because I love you guys all. Many of my friends are good HVAC people, but that's the thing, right? And Monique, I know, you know, my consistent saying is the juice worth the squeeze? That's the thing. Right. You know, do you have to hire a realtor? I mean, really, you don't. But I mean, if you had to take a guess, what percentage of houses, and there's thousands that sell, but what percentage of them have a realtor involved? I'd say high 90s.
I would, too. And the reason is because first of all, this is what we do for a living. I couldn't imagine trying to
do it all myself.
Do what you do or what Dave does or, you know, without understanding the process fully. I think there's so much value in what you're doing. I'm just going to go back. When I was a dental hygienist, I'd be sitting in this chair cleaning somebody's teeth and I'm like, did you do something here? And they're like, yeah, I bought one of those little things at Shoppers. And I'm like, oh God, you like tore apart your gums. Like there's like, it looks like a hamburger in here. So it's like the same kind of a thing where, and I can't tell you how many houses I've driven by that were like a private sale. And then it's the next week it has a realtor sign on there. Yep. Well, there's a reason for that. You know, we can orchestrate everything. We get everything done, you know, the showings. You just sit back and let us take care of it. Well, I feel there's so much value in that.
I'm going to tell you guys a quick story because we're going back over 30 some odd years, actually more 40 years. Yeah, I was a young guy then. I'm an old guy now. So we're going to go back 40 years. I owned a duplex. Which I purchased for a grand total of $87,000. Yes, I wish I'd held on to
it. Big spender.
That's back when money was actually really worth something.
Yeah, you bet.
So I kept that duplex for a little over a year. I had some terrible situation with renters, so I just decided this isn't for me. But I also decided to sell the house privately. And I went through all the legal and whatever, you know, banks and the whole bit we had to do. It was a mess. I do not recommend that to anybody. I ended up selling the house for, this was a year later, for $122,000. Which, you know, was a good markup for a year. The market, like this market, it sort of exploded at that time. But I found out afterwards I could have gotten much more for that home.
And likely with far less stress.
Oh my God, yeah. I basically just picked a number. You know, I didn't bring somebody in to evaluate the home. I didn't do anything that you should do. I was young. I was stupid. I picked a number that sounded good to me and that I thought would get it. A guy walked in, he offered me less than what I was asking. I took it. It was a mess. It was a absolute shit show. So yes, I messed up the price because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. It took forever to sell because, of course, I'm doing it privately. So it was months and months and months of trying to, get anybody to even know that I was there. It cost me more with the lawyers and all the legal stuff because I didn't know what I was doing. It was an absolute mess. So yes, I give full credit to the real estate agents, what they do in the way of marketing and getting people in and getting those houses. Everybody goes, "Oh, that house sold in 3 days," but the reason, I could do that. But the reason it sold in 3 days is because you have all the knowledge, all the connections, all the people to reach out to. You have, people like Sean at your disposal to take care of the mortgages for you. You have all that, already in your hand. So selling a house in 3, 4, or 5 days looks easy. Everything looks easy when you're experienced and have done it a million times. I do some AI art. I just really love doing AI art. And I did some pieces for somebody, and they said to me, "Well, that was quick." I said, "Yes, I it was very quick. I got it for you in like a couple of days." But it took me 2 years of practicing to be able to get that done in 2 days. What you're paying for isn't the product that I'm giving you today. It's the 2 years of experience and the hundreds of hours that I put in to be able to do it in 2 days.
100%.
That's what you're paying for. And I don't think people realize that enough. Go
I
ahead.
agree. And I think too, I was just talking about this with one of my colleagues here, and I don't stop. My job doesn't really ever stop. When I'm walking my dog, I'm listening to podcasts about real estate or personal development. There's things that I'm doing that are always, I'm always working. I'm always thinking about how I can better serve my clients. And our job, we also, there's a lot of strategy involved in this job. There's a lot of things that, even I'm learning every day, like, oh, what if I did this? Like, there's a lot of things, and there's a lot of really great agents out there. There's, this business is full of knowledgeable people that can get you the most for your home. So to sit and worry about all these things, you're going to work. While you're at work, you could have been showing your house to 30 people, but you
Right, yep.
can't because you're working. So there's, you're missing opportunities of even getting people through the home. And a lot of times too, and I've come across this quite often, is we're very attached to our homes. So if somebody's walking through your home and they're telling you all the things wrong with it or why it's not worth what you want for it, I'm the one that's listening to that, not you, whenever somebody's coming through. So they're going to try and talk you down. Well, I'm a negotiator and you're my client, and I'm going to work so hard to make sure that you get what your home is worth. So it's those things that are, I'm not going to take it personally because it's not my home.
And see, that's the difference too with people who are trying to sell their home privately, which, as Sean said, both you said, it's only like a small, much smaller number. But
Fractional
basically, what it
percent.
comes down, yeah. But what it comes down to for the people who are doing that is you're going to save yourself a few thousand dollars in real estate fees. But what you're going to lose in the process is more than what you're going to save. Because you can get the better price for the home because you can negotiate well, because it's what you do.
And
You can
right,
get the
she's
home sold
collaborating,
faster.
right? That's the thing is, right, you were saying that there's lots of great agents and you guys are all connected. So a lot of the time you're collaborating with those other agents who they have buyers and they have their stories and they're trying to solve their buyers' problems. And so it's like, hey, listen, it sounds like your buyers would be a good fit and this and that. And that's all stuff that's invaluable to an individual, just a random citizen like myself. That's I don't have even remotely close to that value if I tried to do it myself. Not a chance. No way.
It's true. Even when I'm in here in Deerbrook, I can sit here and say, "Hey, I have this coming up. Do you have anyone?" And it's,
Yep.
"Well, yeah, I will. I will have somebody. Thank you." So you put those words out there. You're already networking for that home before
Yep.
it's even hit the market. You already have people that are like ready for it to hit that market and go see it. So there's, and like I said, it's I have a lot of real estate friends that I love, and we collaborate. We're not, it's not, it is a competitive business, but most of us work really well together.
Because you have to,
Right.
because you're trying to help each other out to either find a home or sell a home.
Yes.
I mean it's a community.
Yeah.
It really
Yeah.
is. It's like I'll just put it this way. It's like a family. Every now you work together, but sometimes you want to beat the crap out of each other.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or you get that one drunken cousin that had too much at Christmas. You're like, all right, Larry, like, give it a rest now.
You got
I'm
it.
that
You
cu
got
I'm that cousin.
it.
Just kidding.
But yeah, I mean, it really is when when you're selling a home for somebody, it's not just you selling it. And this is what people don't understand. I hired an agent. No, you hired a team.
You did.
You
Yeah.
hired a marketing team. You hired a legal team. You hired an advertising team. You hired a team, not a person.
Yeah.
Totally.
And that's what people don't get. It's just like they see you as the individual, but they don't understand everything that goes on with you and the
No.
access you have and the experience you have. They just don't understand it. They can't,
No, they
especially if this
can't.
is their, if this is not their first home that they're selling, then they probably understand that.
Yeah.
But if it's a first time buyer, first time seller type of thing, they just don't understand, what they're getting. And it's great to be able to have somebody like yourself come on here, and hopefully people who are watching and listening, can learn a little bit about, what to expect and what to, what to watch out for. That's what we try and do here is we try and bring people in like yourself who are very experienced and very knowledgeable, and share that information with people. So it's been great having you on today. I really appreciate
Thank
you
you
showing
so
up.
much, Dave and Sean. I appreciate you having me. This was
Yeah,
fun.
absolutely. Thank you for coming. And we've exacerbated plenty of our time here today. But again, whenever the conversation's good, we seem to go over our time limit. So no surprise, really. So
So
perfect, Dave.
yeah,
You want to sign us out here?
I will sign us out today. Thanks everybody for listening to the Real Connection. Here we talk about buying, selling, knocking them down, building them up, renting them, leasing them, decorating them, lawn care. If it has to do with the home, we are going to talk about it. And we love to have wonderful people on like Monique. And Monique, before we go, could you tell people how they can reach you?
Hey,
Yep.
The whole show she's got. Come on.
I'm on. You can find me on Facebook, Monique Morneau-Gignac, or Monique Gignac Realty, Deerbrook is where I am as well. My phone number is 519-562-3284. You can reach out directly anytime, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Perfect.
Yeah,
Perfect.
thank
Well,
you.
again, thank you for coming on. I'm sure we'll have you on again. We'll pick a single topic and just sort of jump into it and attack that topic. It'd be great to talk to you.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Okay.
Thank
Have a great
you.
day and thanks, folks. This is
Okay.
The Real Connection. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on YouTube. You can find us basically everywhere. We're on 18 different podcast channels. And you can find us at www.therealconnection.com. So, our next show is next Tuesday. It's every Tuesday at 9 a.m. So find us out there and we'd love to hear questions from you. Don't be afraid to reach out to us. Have a great day, folks.
See everyone. Bye-bye.